All right, you guys enjoying this beautiful day? Beautiful evening. I just spoke here at the devotional at 4:30, and it's so good to be with you again. It's kind of a on the spur of a moment thing. God is good all the time, right? And all the time, God is good. And again, it is a privilege to be able to minister, to serve you here at John 3:16. On Mondays at devotional, I'd like to invite everybody here out next Monday afternoon at 4:30. We have a devotional service. We get into the Word of God, get into the meat of God's Word, study God's Word, and then we have some snacks later, and we receive some necessities of life. And so anyway, just pray that God speaks through me tonight. And Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus again. And God, I just pray that you would speak through me to us tonight, Father God, that we'd be able to take something away from this service tonight that we can apply to the rest of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, it may just be a few minutes long, but that's okay. God's Word is powerful, right? Whether it's 2 minutes long or 30 minutes long. All right, so Gene was telling me that the theme of the month is worship. Worship. And he said the text comes from Genesis chapter 8, verses 20 through 22. And basically, God had sent a flood on the land. Noah built an ark. His family was saved. He took two of every type of animal into the ark, and they were saved. And then the flood had subsided, right? And they came out of the ark, and it says in Genesis 8:20 that Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some birds, some of all the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. Verse 21, the Lord smelled a pleasing aroma and said in his heart, never again will I curse the ground because of man, even though every inclination of his heart is evil from childhood. And never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. Verse 22, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. I think tonight for the next few minutes, the verse I want to concentrate on is 22. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. I want to talk a little about seed time and harvest in the context of worship, sowing and reaping. What does the Word of God say in Galatians? What did Paul write to the Galatians? He said, whatever a man sows, that also shall he reap, right? Whatever a man sows, that also shall he reap. Friends, it works in every area of life. If you plant orange seeds, as I said earlier, what are you going to get eventually? You're going to get oranges, right? If you plant plum seeds, what are you going to get eventually? You're going to get plums, right? If you plant seeds of love and compassion, what are you going to get when you need it? You're going to get love and compassion, right? Now let's talk about this thing called worship. What is worship all about? When you think of the word worship, think of love for God. We love God because He first loved us, right? I'm going to turn to another scripture found in Matthew 22. And this scripture sums up the Law and the Prophets. It sums up the entire Old Testament. Matthew 22. A lawyer came to Jesus, and he said this. In verse 36, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Verse 37, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. 2,000 years ago, how did God demonstrate His love towards us? 2,000 years ago, God demonstrated His love toward us by giving us His very best, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, God the Son. See, we were all destined for darkness, for hell. But God loved us so much. In His mercy, He did not want us going to hell, right? God required punishment for sin. But He knew that us imperfect human beings could never pay for our sin, right? It was just too great a price to pay. So He sent Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, to pay the penalty for our sin. Jesus Christ died upon a cross so that we would not have to die where? In hell. We owed a debt that we could not pay, right? And God, through Jesus, paid a debt that He did not owe. Greater love has no man than this, than He laid down His life for His friend. Jesus laid down His life for us. That was God's way of demonstrating His love for us. Friends, we were destined for an eternity separated from God. But God demonstrated this great love through Jesus Christ. How many in the room tonight have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior?
Amen.
Guess what? Everybody that raised their hand is heaven bound. Amen. We were once captive to the kingdom of darkness. We are now headed for heaven one day when we leave this earth. That was the love of God through Jesus Christ. He took His very best. He took His Son. He took Jesus. God basically instituted this law, if you think of it, this spiritual law of seed time and harvest spoken of in Genesis 8:22. And God basically practiced the very law that He instituted in Genesis 8:22. He planted His seed. Which seed did God plant? He planted His Son, Jesus Christ, into this earth 2,000 years ago. Jesus was born to die so that we could live forever. Amen?
Amen?
And Jesus, having been planted into this earth, He was crucified, buried, and resurrected. Guess what? Who's the harvest off that seed? You and me are the harvest of the seed of Jesus having been planted into this earth and doing His work on the cross, right? So God demonstrated this awesome love toward us so that we could be in relationship with Him, so that we could be reconciled to Him, so that we could spend eternity with Him forever in heaven one day.
Amen.
And guess what, friends? We have a responsibility to say thank you to God for this great act of love demonstrated through the work of Jesus Christ. How do we say thank you to God for what He did for us through Christ? We say thank you to God by worshiping God, by worshiping Him. And when you think of the word worship, think of love for God. We love Him because He first loved us. He gave us His very best seed 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ. And the question tonight is this. God gave His best. Will you give your all back to Almighty God? Will you give to God what He's requiring of you? And you may be saying tonight, well, Jonathan, I don't have much in my hands. I have a few dollars to my name. I have a few physical possessions. I don't have much. But friends, you have something. And if God tells you to sow that thing as a seed, as an act of worship, will you do it? You know, traditionally, we think of worship as a worship service, right? Like when we come into a church service and praise and worship songs are being played, right? And we're singing hymns and praise and worship to God, right? So yes, we can also all worship God with these mouths by singing praises and worship to Him. But friends, there's other ways to express worship to Almighty God. What seed is it that God has placed in your hands? What seed is it that God has placed in your hands? As you practice this spiritual principle of seed time and harvest, guess what you're doing? You're practicing worship toward God. There's somebody out there, as I was saying earlier in the service, There's somebody out there, friend, that is in greater need than you. Praise God, tonight you have a roof over your head, right? Here at John 3:16, you've got a bed. You've got shelter. Guess what? There's somebody out there in downtown Tulsa tonight who is in greater need than yourself. Amen. Somebody who's sleeping under a bridge. Somebody who's sleeping on a street corner. Somebody who's sleeping under a tree. In the coming days, in the coming weeks, God may send across your path somebody who is less fortunate than you. Maybe they're starving, they're penniless, don't have any food, and maybe you've got $10 to your name. And God says, Jonathan, Sam, whoever it might be, sow something into that person's life. Buy them lunch. Buy them a cup of coffee. And as you sow that seed into that person's life, guess what you're doing? You are worshiping God. The greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. And the second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. How do you express your worship toward God? Your love for God? By reaching out to a neighbor. By reaching out to somebody in need. Does that make sense?
Amen.
You may have no money to your name, but God has gifted you with a mouth, with words that you can speak. Maybe somebody out there is depressed, despondent, ready to give up on life. You may have nothing physically, no physical possessions, no monetary possessions, but you know what? You've got a mouth. And you can tell that person who's depressed that God loves you. God loves you, God believes in you, and I believe in you. Guess what? That is an act of worship towards God. That's a way of telling God, I love you, by loving the ones He's created, by loving your neighbor. Amen. That's the way we demonstrate our love towards God. That's the way we demonstrate our worship toward God, is by loving other people, by sowing seeds of kindness and compassion into their lives. Does that make sense?
Amen.
Jesus, in Luke chapter 10, for some of you who were here, you heard this, but it bears repeating. Jesus tells a parable about who the neighbor is in Luke chapter 10. This lawyer comes to Jesus. It's basically the same lawyer of Matthew 22. And he says, Teacher, Luke 10:25, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? I think he was trying to test Jesus, right? So Jesus says, here's the parable. This is who the neighbor is. And basically, Jesus was telling him, this is how you express your worship to God. In reply, Jesus said, a man was going from Jerusalem to Jericho, Luke 10, verse 30, when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, they beat him, went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came to where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. Now, the priest and the Levite, these were what? These were the religious people, right? Religious people. Those who should have been moved with compassion, right? But religion is different from relationship. Religion is about a list of what? It's about a list of do's and don'ts. It's about a list of obligations and duties. And the priest and the Levite, who should have stopped to minister to this bleeding Jew from Jerusalem to Jericho, they didn't stop. Who stopped? A Samaritan. There's a difference between religion and relationship. The Samaritan had relationship with Almighty God. So he stopped. And something else you have to know historically. There were racial animosities between the Samaritans and the Jews. The Jews looked down on the Samaritans. They didn't have any dealings. There were racial tensions between Jews and Samaritans. But what did this Samaritan do? But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came to where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. Verse 35. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. Relationship with God does what? The Samaritan, I believe, had relationship. He wasn't religious. He had relationship with Almighty God. So relationship with Almighty God does what? It tears down the walls of racism. It steps beyond the walls of prejudice. It tears down the walls of pride, right? And it ministers to the person who's in greater need. And that's exactly what the Samaritan did, friends. That was his spiritual act of worship. Was by ministering to this Jew who was beaten, laying on the road, dying. That was his act of worship. That was his seed of compassion. His act of compassion. And friend, I'm here to tell you tonight that in the coming days, the coming weeks, God is going to send somebody across your path. It may not be comfortable. He may send a situation across your path that may not be comfortable. Will you be like the Good Samaritan, offering your worship to God, sowing that seed of kindness into the person's life? Will you do it or will you not do it? Who is your neighbor? You know, we think, as I said earlier, we know traditionally here in America what neighbor is, right? We've been taught. Who is the neighbor? Our definition in America basically is the person who lives next door. It's the person who lives across the street, the person who lives 2 doors down. It may be the person who sleeps in the bed next to you, who lives above you. That's what we understand to be neighbor, right? But what was Jesus doing in Luke chapter 10? He was expanding the concept of neighbor. He was saying, friend, neighbor is anyone who happens to be in greater need than yourself. And when you reach out to relieve that person's need, guess what? You're that person's neighbor. You're that person's neighbor. So you could be in China, friend, on the other side of the world. You could be in India. And you might run across somebody who's in greater need than you. Guess what? When you reach out to touch that person pretty much is your neighbor, becomes your neighbor. And you become that person's neighbor. You could be from Tulsa, Oklahoma, United States, in China, ministering out there, reaching out to somebody in greater need than you. And guess what? That person in China, though he doesn't live in the United States, is your neighbor. And when you reach out to touch them, you are touching the very heart of God Himself. You're actually worshiping God when you reach out beyond yourself to somebody in greater need. Does that make sense tonight? Amen. You might be thinking, Jonathan, I'm in such great need myself. How can I do this? How can I reach out? God will give you the strength, friends. It's not always going to be easy. It's not always going to be comfortable. God may send you to somebody who looks different than you. Remember, the Samaritan and the Jew, they look different. There was racial tension between them. They had different customs. They talk differently. And God may send somebody across your path who looks different than you, who thinks differently, who talks differently, who's got a different skin coloring. Will you step out in compassion beyond yourself to relieve that person's suffering? As you do so, when you sow that seed of compassion, guess what? You're worshiping Almighty God. And guess what? When you step out beyond yourself and sow that seed of mercy, That seed of compassion, reaching out beyond yourself. Guess what? When you're in need, God is going to reach out to touch you with a miracle. Amen. And a lot of people here tonight are needing miracles. We're all needing miracles, right? Miracles of deliverance. Whatever that might be. Maybe alcohol, deliverance from drugs. You might need a financial miracle in your life. Maybe a miracle of healing in your body. Maybe an emotional miracle on the inside. Maybe a family member is facing sickness. God may bring across your path somebody who is sick. Will you reach out and pray for that person and sow that seed of compassion? Guess what? If you're looking out for the less fortunate, God is looking out for you. Seed time and harvest. Whatever a man sows, that also shall he reap. When you touch somebody in need, you're touching the heart of God Himself. You're worshiping God in spirit and in truth. I know I told this story earlier. Some of you may have heard of it, maybe not. 1 Kings 17. How many have heard of Elijah, the great prophet, and the widow of Zarephath? 1 Kings 17. In that story, what happens? God was feeding Elijah with the birds, right? With Raven Express. They brought him food in the morning and food in the evening, right? And he drank from the brook. And eventually the brook dried up, right? Elijah was sent to the home of this widow woman. We can turn there to 1 Kings 17 real quick. This widow woman really demonstrated worship towards God. 1 Kings 17. And Elijah says to her in 1 Kings 17:10, he says, he calls her and asks, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar that I may have a drink?" As she was going to get it, he called and, "Bring me, please, a piece of bread." "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Verse 13, Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said, but first make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up. The jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land." She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. The jar of flour was not used up and the jug of oil did not run dry. Friends, there's two parties here. The woman and her son and Elijah, right? Elijah was in great need, correct? He had nothing physically. He had dependence upon God, right? But the lady had something, right? The widow woman had something physically. She had some oil and she had some flour. Does that make sense? She had something. Fear was trying to hold her back. Elijah said to her in verse 13, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said." This woman took the little bit of seed that she had. She made a loaf of bread for Elijah and she sowed it into his life. And in return, what did God do? He brought a bountiful harvest on that seed. There was food every day for the woman, her son, and Elijah. Tonight, you may feel like the widow woman. "Jonathan, I feel about as good as dead. I'm about to give up on life. How can I reach out beyond myself?" Friend, if the widow woman did it, and she was in need like we are, guess what? You can do it as well. She had just a little bit, and she sowed it into the life of Elijah. That was her act of worship. And you know, tonight you may be imprisoned by fear. "Well, I just have a little bit. I don't have much. And if I give it, there won't be enough for me." Friends, I encourage you from the Word of God. Take the little bit that you have, and when God speaks to you as your act of worship, sow it into the life of somebody who's in greater need than you. Because when you're looking out for others, guess what? God is looking out for you. You can never outgive God. Whatever a man sows, that also shall he reap. Amen? You take one kernel of corn, right, and you plant it and it produces lots of corn, right? Plant a seed. You take an apple seed and plant it, and it produces apples eventually. It's the same way in the kingdom of God spiritually. You take one seed of compassion as your act of worship, and you sow it. And God will multiply it back to you 30, 60, and 100-fold. Don't let fear hold you back. Don't let fear hold you back in Jesus' name. That is your spiritual act of worship. How do you love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind? How do you worship God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind? By loving your neighbor as you love yourself. And who's your neighbor? The person in need. When you reach out to them, you are reaching out to Jesus himself. What did Jesus say in Matthew 25:40? For as much as you've done it to the least of these brothers of mine, you have done it for me, for him. When you reach out to that person in love, in God's love, you're reaching out to Jesus himself. That is your spiritual act of worship. Amen? Friends, God is going to send some people across your path, and it may not be comfortable. They may not look like you. They may not smell like you, dress like you. Will you step out beyond yourself? Will you do what's uncomfortable? Will you sow your seed in the coming days, the coming weeks, the coming months? And what God is telling you to sow? Don't be afraid. Don't let fear hold you back. That's the enemy's tactic, to keep you bound and to keep you down. You've got to break out of fear in faith. In faith, take a step of compassion and tell God, I love you, by reaching out to this person. Amen?